There are many titles for this Sunday. In the Revised Common Lectionary, it's called the Second Sunday of Easter. But some people call this Humor Sunday. I heard about a pastor who stood up for 15 minutes and told jokes and then said, "Christ is risen, risen indeed," and sat down. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to write that many jokes for today. I thought about some funny videos that I could show, but none of them were really appropriate for worship. So we'll just go on with the scripture and hope that you find some joy and humor in it as we go. There certainly has been some humor in trying to get through the morning. So I don't know about you, but I love to stretch out celebrations as long as I can. I love to stretch out birthdays. My birthday can go on for weeks if people are willing to keep taking me to eat and giving me presents. Christmas, well, I'll still take Christmas presents if you forgot to get me something. Don't hesitate. I actually gave a Christmas present about 3 weeks ago. But we Protestants, we like to make Easter one Sunday. We want to put all our eggs in one basket, pun intended. Let's get all dressed up and make sure we're in church on Easter Sunday, and then we're good until Christmas. But if we really look at the scripture, Jesus' resurrection continued to transform people. He continued to appear up until ascension. So Easter really lasts for 50 days. And yet we look around and the Easter crowd is already gone. Actually, a lot of people call this Sunday Low Sunday. I would like to believe that that is because the scripture, every year, the Sunday after Easter, is about the disciples locked in the room and about Thomas doubting. And so I would like to believe it's called Low Sunday because the disciples were at a low point. But it's not. It's called Low Sunday because across the board, attendance drops the Sunday after Easter. It's also interesting that every year there are very few Sundays when the lectionary is repeated in all 3 years, but this Sunday is one. The story of Thomas, the story of the doubter. So I thought, well, I'll preach on one of the other scriptures today, like the First John. But I couldn't get Thomas out of my head this week. I couldn't think about anything except for those disciples cowering in a room behind locked doors for fear. Fear of the Jews. Fear of the Romans. I can't pretend that I can relate to what they were going through. Feeling so called to follow this man who made such an impact on so many lives, especially on the disciples, to see him tortured and killed, and then to have his body disappear from its tomb. Not your ordinary chain of events. So while I can't really relate, I can imagine what I might have felt like. That feeling of grief and fear, and yes, even doubt. All very natural, very human feelings. We all go through them. In some ways, it's nice to know that even Jesus' closest friends had those same feelings of grief and fear and doubt. We're all pretty familiar with those feelings, aren't we? We're all pretty familiar with all the different stories throughout the Gospels of finding the tomb empty, of seeing Jesus, of hearing Jesus, and yes, even Thomas wanting to touch Jesus. I guess what I don't understand is why, even after they've seen Jesus once, why they don't recognize him when they see him again. Has he changed? Is he continuing to change? Is he trying to change his appearance, to be mysterious? We know John's version of Mary finding the tomb empty and a man speaks to her, and it isn't until he speaks her name that she recognizes him. Mary hears him. The disciples are locked behind closed doors. They know the tomb has been found empty. They know that Mary has said that Jesus has returned. They've even heard Jesus tell them that he would return. And still, they're hidden in fear. And suddenly, someone stands in front of them, having gotten into the room without the doors being open. I mean, let's be honest. We're in this room right now with the doors closed, and if someone suddenly appeared without the doors opening, I think we might be a little taken aback. So here is a man who appears past locked doors after all they know, and they still don't recognize it's Jesus until he shows them his hands and his side. I don't know about you all, but I have to wonder a little bit about these guys. Or is there more to resurrection than just returning to life? Is there a transformation, even for Jesus? A continually changing as Christ prepared for his ascension. That's one of the questions that I have on my list to ask when I get face to face with my Creator. I've got a long list, but that's one of them. Why did they not recognize you? And now here is Thomas, and he hears the stories. We've heard Jesus' voice. We know he's alive. We've seen him. We've seen his hands and his side. We know. And Thomas says, "Nope, not enough for me. I need more. I need to touch. I need to see the wound. I need to touch the wound." Wow, that seems extreme to me. I don't think I would need that, but Thomas was different. But the amazing part of this story is that Jesus says, "Okay. Okay, if that's what you need, here I am." We don't know if Thomas actually really touched his hands or his side. My guess is he didn't really need to. It was enough that Jesus offered. I've always had a hard time with people calling Thomas the doubter, because I'm not really sure I believe he was a doubter as much as a realist. If we look at Thomas earlier in John, he was a pretty straight shooter. "Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" So I figure Thomas has seen Jesus die on the cross, and he's pretty sure of what he saw, and he just can't comprehend how Jesus could be back. I don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples when they saw Jesus earlier. But if I'm right about the type of person Thomas was, he probably didn't see the point in hiding in a room and was out getting on with his life. Now that sounds like I don't believe that he was attached or affected by Jesus' crucifixion, and that's not really true. But we all grieve in our own ways. And some people need to just get moving. And that's a real possibility for Thomas. But again, Jesus isn't put off by the fact that Thomas wasn't with the other disciples. Thomas needs to touch. And like I mentioned last week, Jesus comes to Thomas, not because of Thomas's doubt. Thomas probably didn't need to see Jesus to believe that he was the Son of God. That wasn't the point of resurrection. Thomas needed to see, to believe in what God was capable of. Thomas had such small earthly ideas of what God could do. And even though Jesus appears to scold him just a little for needing to touch him, Jesus is inviting Thomas into a new reality, into seeing what amazing things God is capable of. I can't help but stop and wonder how I limit God in my own realities. How do I limit what I think we can do as a community by my own realities? How often do I look at my own failures and not at God's possibilities? How often do I look at the scarcity of life instead of the abundance of God? How often do I feel bound by my transgressions instead of freed by God's grace? We need at times to be realistic. We need realistic people around us. But we also need to know without hesitation that God is capable of doing far more than we can imagine. We're invited, like Thomas, each and every day into a new reality with Christ, and that's not easy to hear. We hear the worst about the world every day. We hear about destruction and war and hatred and injustices, and we want to slip into the realistic Thomas mode instead of the Easter resurrection believing mode. But my friends, we need to reawaken ourselves to the amazing possibilities of God. All things are possible. Yes, we have a part to play. Yes, we all have jobs to do. We can't sit back and lock ourselves in a room all the time and expect everything to be great. Sometimes we have fear and grief and doubt, and that's okay, as long as we recognize when Christ stands before us and shows us the amazing works of God, that we open our eyes to see and trust. God is alive and at work in us and in this world. Jesus breathed life into the disciples. Their very own Pentecost. And he sent them out to spread the word far and wide and to tell people how to see, how to hear, and how to feel Christ in every moment of every day. May we be Easter people. May we be Easter people. Today and every day. Amen and amen.